I want to recap some of the lyrics that we just sang. Come, let us adore you, Christ and Lord. Christ meaning Savior, the one who rescues us. Lord meaning Master. Those two things, it's not a la carte. Jesus is both, and in that there is freedom. It says, you are worthy of your name, we sang in the song. You are worthy of your name. And what does that even mean? His name is Jesus, Yeshua, Hebrew for saves. He saves. Emmanuel, God with us, that no other dead religion can offer, but that God himself descended to rescue us. You're worthy of your name, Yeshua, Jesus, because you save. He saves us. He's a God who saves. It says, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. That we've been set free. We are now a child of God. It says in Ephesians 1 that he predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ according to his pleasure and will. We've been adopted if you were in Jesus and are no longer a slave to fear. You're a child of God. We can shout that in praise. And then it says, all the earth will shout your name. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Man, what does that mean? Our bones will sing? That there's a resurrection, that this is not the end, that this broken, fallen world will come and go, pass away. It will be destroyed by fire. There will be a new heaven, new earth with resurrected, glorified bodies, and these bones will sing. So no matter what trouble you're facing, like this is not the end, that in Christ, there is a resurrection coming, an eternal life that can begin now. Some of the words that we just sang. Now, I'll introduce myself. Sorry, I was just excited about some of the lyrics, but I forgot. Tell them who you are. My name's John Elmore. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from alcoholism, pride, and this week, frustration with life. How about that? I got like broken fridge, broken dishwasher, broken phone. Like, I feel like just agitated with the modern inconveniences of life. But speaking of some of that agitation, so does anyone here live in Richardson? Yep. So a lot of Richardson here. If you're not from Richardson, it's just north of Dallas, 5 miles up the road. Nice little community. You should check it out sometime. I live in Richardson. My wife and I and our kids. But for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe somebody is on like the civil committee of Richardson, but they have blown up the streets of Richardson, quite literally, like at Arapahoe and Coit. You might have a blowout just by driving on the roads. They've been like, jackhammering them at night, up the road, Waterview by like Frankfurt. There's a railroad crossing. You will lose a tire if you drive over that railroad crossing. It was like a 1 foot drop, throw your car totally out of alignment. They sent us a notice and they said, we're gonna be repairing your alleys, like all the alleys and all the streets around our house. I'm like, you just highlighted everything. Like, we can't get in and out of our house. Like, what are you talking about? You can't do that. You can't do construction all the time. And then Coit, just like 2 weeks ago, they had shut down to one lane. It's three lanes north, three lanes south. They had it shut down to one lane. I'm like, who planned this? Like, you can't do this to a city. Like, you've got to give us some, you know, north, south, east, west, a little bit. Like, cut us a break. But they just busted up every street, and it's like all the funds got released to repair everything all at once, and they had to get it in before the end of the year. Why in the world am I telling you this? It's incredibly frustrating, and that's just a few of the streets. It's not actually all the streets. I mean, I just named four of them. Maybe there's more, but it felt like my whole world had stopped from a traffic point of view. And I tell you that because I'm a hypocrite at heart, because as they were repairing everything, only those four roads. I'm like really frustrated. Like, I need this road. Expand Coit back to three lanes. Like, I got to get home to my family. But then when I think about my life and what God needs to fix in my life, I'm like, Lord, just fix it all. Why? Come on, you're all powerful. I'm available and ready. So just fix it all. Like, come on. Like, what's the holdup? I mean, why not just, I've got Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I've got the word here. I got my brothers and sisters in Christ. Just fix it all. And I think God knows, like, that would be way too painful. You couldn't handle it if I started working on everything all at once. It would be overwhelming, just like if they truly overhauled the entire city of Richardson or Dallas. Like, it would just gridlock, everything would shut down. And so God in his grace does little by little by little. It's called progressive sanctification. progressively shaping you into the image of Christ, not overhauling you all at once. We couldn't handle it. It would be too taxing. It would be debilitating and paralyzing and crushing. I mean, I know just this week with my frustration, that's enough. Like, I'm like, all right, this is enough. These three things going on and breaking down, like, that's good. Like, I don't know if I can handle much more than a newborn and three major appliances going out. That's good. And so you can imagine if he did everything all at once, if he's like, hey, and I'm going to take care of your gluttony and your apathy and your critical spirit and your grumbling and your lust. And I'm just going to take care of all that all at once. Like, I'd be in the corner weeping if it was just one of those things. But and God writes that in his Bible, you know? That's not just like some construct that was made up by Richardson or by me. It's right here in Exodus. I think it'll be up on the screen. Exodus 23, starting in verse 27. So let me set you up here. So the Israelites are coming out of Egypt. They were enslaved, right? So are we in our sin. Enslaved, God brings them out. He sends a deliverer, Moses. We have Jesus. This deliverer that brings them out to take them into the promised land. Freedom, total freedom in Christ. The problem is there's enemies in that promised land. The problem is that even though we've been set free from slavery to sin, we still have enemies that we still face, right? Does anybody still have enemies of sin they still face? Yes, every hand goes up. So God, in the same way, as I read this, you think about your life. Verse 27, I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way. If we have any Hivites, Hittites, and Canaanites in the audience, you're welcome here. You weren't in the Old Testament, but you're welcome here. Listen to this. This is weird. He just said that he would drive them all out. But, whenever you see a but in scripture, you pay attention. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. Little by little. But what he says is that every enemy you encounter, I will drive them out. I will terrify them. And they will be driven out. And what I mean to say to you tonight is that no matter what, no matter where you are, no matter how many enemies of sin and struggle and oppression and affliction you're facing, every single one of them bows before the Lord God Almighty, before Jesus Christ, and he drives them out. And he will do it little by little as a grace to you. Lest the land, you, become desolate and the wild animals devour, he'll do it little by little. But there is nothing, no sin in your path that God will not drive out. He is sovereign over all your enemies, and in him alone there is freedom. So come, let us adore him and thank you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who drives out every single enemy before us. Yeah, we have a powerful God. If we bring him into the fight, if we tap him. Because if we just try to go against our enemies, we'll get crushed. But it says in Romans 8:13, if you put to death the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit, we have no power over sin. We have no power over sin, but God does. So you bring God into your fight and he'll drive those enemies out. Praise God.